Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Our text is the Psalm 51. I will not reread it, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Psalm 51, tonight's text, is the best known of the penitential Psalms. We sing verses 10 through 12 every time we sing the offertory when we're doing divine service, setting 3. Other parts of this song are sung in parts of the liturgy in Matins and Vespers. Concerning this psalm, Martin Luther writes in his Luther's work, volume 14, "A true and penitent heart sees nothing but its sin and misery of conscience. He who still finds any counsel and help in himself cannot in all earnestness speak these words, for he is not yet altogether miserable, but feels some comfort in himself apart from God's mercy. These are all words of true repentance, which magnifies and multiplies the grace of God by magnifying and multiplying sin." The apostle says in Romans 5, "Where sin increased, grace abounded all the more." Here ends the Luther quote. The penitent, you see, has sorrow over their sin. This is the point Luther is making about this psalm. If you have any attitude at all of, well, other people do it, or my neighbor's worse than me, or anything like that, or I can just make it up with God if I just do this, that, or the other, you're not truly repentant. You're not a penitent who can speak these words as David did. For the penitent has sorrow over actual sin, the sins of thought, word, and deed that we confess, those sins of commission and omission carried out by every one of us every day of our lives. David confessed before God, "For I know my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment." When sin becomes manifest to a person, he or she must say amen to God's sentence, just like David does to the word of God spoken by Nathan, God's prophet. All attempts at self-justification on the part of sinners actually accuses God of unrighteousness and injustice. John put it this way in his first epistle: "If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." David not only confesses actual sin that he has committed in this psalm, but he also acknowledges his original sin as well. As so, the penitent has sorrow over that also. The penitent recognizes that he or she is sinful through and through from the time of conception. Paul writes in Romans 5, "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. There is no good to be found in us." With the Apostle Paul, you and I are called to acknowledge ourselves as, well, the chief of sinners. And all sin is an affront to God. Our original sin, our actual sins, those committed against others and those we've committed just against ourselves. God is justified when the penitent one condemns and judges themselves completely and thoroughly. And so God calls us to confess the truth about ourselves. We are all sinners. Luther writes in volume 10 of his works, "On the contrary, the ungodly and proud man is first of all the accuser and defender, the justifier and savior of himself. For that very person, he automatically says that he does not need God as his Savior, and he judges God in his words and de-justifies him and accuses him of being a liar and false. God's word reveals the truth about us and about God. And so the penitent, through faith, recognizes his need for recreation, to be born anew from above, because of his he is corrupted by sin. Thorough change is required for us, something we cannot affect in ourselves. Dealing with sin requires more than merely cleaning up one's act. God wants a change of heart, something David in his corrupt state could never produce, nor could you and I. We are dead in our trespasses and sin, St. Paul writes. We are spiritually dead and can do absolutely nothing to aid ourselves in our situation before God. Cleansing of sin must come from God. He must do it all. God is Savior, and thereby he is glorified as all in all. Luther speaks further of this on volume 14 on this psalm again. Anyone who looks upon his sin as something outward only cannot remain in this grace, but must slide backwards and thus remain without grace and become worse than before. Although he does not see or realize it, now with us the situation is that Adam must get out and Christ must come in. Adam must become nothing and Christ alone remain and rule. For this reason, there is no end of washing and cleansing in this life. Therefore, the Christian, the penitent, live every day in their baptism. The psalmist talks about cleansing with hyssop. It was part of, you see, the Old Testament purification rituals for those who were considered unclean, including those with leprosy and those exposed to dead things. Dead bodies. Blood and water were sprinkled and applied. The application of the blood and water with the hyssop in the Old Testament foreshadowed our cleansing by the application of the blood of Christ in the waters of baptism that given to us to create and keep us in the faith. The Old Testament purification ritual finds its fulfillment in Jesus. God's forgiveness is also described by David as God hiding his face from sin so that he no longer sees it, as God blotting our sins out from his record book, and as God washing us and making us whiter than snow. So we sing, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." David recognized his total unworthiness, his total corruption. Thus he prays for the miracle of a new creation performed by the Creator alone. The Spirit present at creation, who hovered over the face of the deep, he works this new creation that involves repentance and faith, and then a desire, well, to serve our neighbor, that is, to bear good fruit. Renewal is the work of the Holy Spirit through his means of grace, the Word, and the sacraments. Because this renewal is never perfect in this life, David prays that the Spirit will keep him steadfast and sustain him so that he will not fall again. This prayer is also an expression of confidence that God will answer David's prayer, since David says with assurance, "Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise." This psalm is thus also an expression of confidence in God, that God will answer David's prayer because David promises, well, in faith, he promises that he will do what he will do when his prayer is answered and he is restored to right relationship by God to God. And so genuine repentance produces a renewal for service. Service that involves avoiding sin, praising God, and telling others the good news of Jesus Christ. And most importantly, well, not most importantly, and along with that, praying for the renewal of all God's people. The penitent desires, you see, to avoid sin. This is why Paul writes in Romans 6, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it?" And yet we know all too well. We know all too well that we still live in it. This is why we must be called to be the penitent. Thus the penitent prays that God would do his work, for it is only God who can do it. David writes, "For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." Luther continues speaking on the 51st Psalm as he says, "It is if he, that being David, said everything else he, God, despises except a heart that is humble and broken. For it ascribes honor to God and sin to itself. Such a heart gives God nothing, but only takes from him. This is also what God wants, so that he may be truly God, for it behooves God to give, not to take." Our God is no idol to be worshipped and served. Rather, he is the giver God who provides all that we need. We are to receive and respond. David concludes then this penitential prayer, asking God to do good to Zion and build up the walls of Jerusalem. And so the penitent prays for the renewal of God's people, for the church. The penitent has not only a personal concern, but also considers all others as members of the body of Christ with them. The body of Christ, the church. For in truth, we are not just individuals before God. This is why Paul is able to write in 1 Corinthians, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of the one Spirit." Thus Luther says, it is clear that this psalm was composed, strictly speaking, not about David, but prophetically in the person of the church. It was written by David as being part of God's church. The penitent prays regularly then for the building up of the body of Christ, as Jerusalem and Israel of the Old Testament prefigure Christ's body, the church now. And so in the midst of the divine service, the church sings the offertory, which in its traditional form, as I already mentioned in divine service setting 3, is taken right from Psalm 51. We pray, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." The penitent prays that God would create that in them through the Spirit. In so praying, the penitent also knows, believes, and trusts that through Christ Jesus, the working of the Holy Spirit, God does just that for us. He creates that which we cannot. He hides his face from our sin. He blots out our transgressions. He washes us whiter than snow. With David and all the faithful through the ages then, together, as we will today, as we come to the altar, as we are here in worship, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify our glorious, merciful God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in whose name we are redeemed and restored and forgiven. In Jesus' precious name, may we. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.